Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome on into your Freight Waves Now community spotlight for this Friday. And it's time to end the week checking in with Mary O'Connell and her Running on Ice community. Mary, thanks for being here on this Friday to tap into the coolest community in freight.
Anytime, guys. You know, there's no better way to end your Friday than with some nice, cold chain information.
I love it. And I like that we get to bookend your Friday, right? You start your morning with a community update. You finish it with the community show at the very, very end, Running on Ice. So it's a good way to get all of that information kind of chock full into one good Friday. We've got a really good topic today because we're talking about sustainability in cold chain, specifically around the health space. And I think that this is a topic that doesn't necessarily always get a lot of limelight because maybe it's not the most flashy, but it is super important, right? So talk to us a little bit about who your guest is going to be for today and where they come from.
Yeah, so today we actually get to talk to Joel Wayman. He is from Cardinal Health, and we kind of really dive into some of the sustainability things that they're doing. And I mean, it's not really a secret that usually in April, we do pretty heavy on the sustainability front in both Check Call and Running on Ice. But sadly, you know, as much as I would like everyone to think that 2024 is the year of nothing but committing to ESG initiatives, reducing their carbon footprint, all of that, it seems like everyone else is just a little bit behind the times. They're not quite where I want to be, but that's okay. So we just kind of break down some of those easy steps that people can take and kind of different things that you can look for to go, oh, okay, well, this is something that we can do. This is what makes it approachable. And it doesn't have to be, you know, refitting an entire warehouse for like solar panels and electric. It doesn't have to be that. It can be something a lot simpler.
So I think oftentimes maybe some cold chain shippers almost get excused from maybe not hitting those ESG goals because a lot of what they do is very important, right? If you're a grocery shipper, obviously you've got to make sure that your food is fresh. If you are a health services shipper like Cardinal Health, you got to make sure that those medicines, those vaccines, those very temperature sensitive freight things are temperature controlled. And maybe if you're not hitting your ESG goals because you're getting products that help people to them safely and effectively, okay, we can let it slide a little bit. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have some of those sustainability goals. That doesn't mean that there aren't places where you can start to be a little bit greener. What are some of those spaces that are really open for these temperature controlled sectors that are very, very important to get right, but also have the ability to be impactful when it comes to increasing your ESG goals?
It's literally every part of the cold chain is eligible for this, all the way from pharmaceuticals up to, you know, the lettuce that sits in a warehouse. So whether it's, you know, monitoring your lettuce and saying, okay, well, just because we had a truckload of lettuce come in Tuesday, well, the stuff, and there's something that has to go out Thursday, but the truck that came in on Wednesday, it looks like that product might go bad before the one that came in on Tuesday. We're going to send the one on Wednesday first, just so that way, you know, you're limiting waste in that way. And then also one of the really cool things that Cardinal Health did that it seems so easy, but it absolutely blew my mind. And I was like, I would have never thought about this. So they took their cold and, like, you know, certain items that they ship that have to stay at a certain temperature, whether it's a couple degrees below Celsius or, you know, just above freezing. They took that, and then they also put that room temperature, that ambient stuff in there, that it can kind of, like, the comparison I like to use is your pair of jeans. So it doesn't matter if your jeans get 100 degrees or if they get to below freezing, the jeans are still going to be jeans and they're still going to work as jeans whenever you get them. So they basically did the equivalent of that for, you know, medical supplies in different parts in their network. So that way, you know, you might have this super cold shipment. And a lot of times, you know, those will, you can't always fill up an entire truck. And so then you have a half full truck driving around the road. Well, they have started putting some of that ambient and room temperature stuff on that cold truck to, you know, cut down on empty miles, trucks on the road, making sure the trucks on the road are full. And I thought that was absolutely genius because, you know, we're always so focused on, okay, well, everything in this shipment has to stay at this temperature. But what about those things that can go to different temperatures and still be fine? And so basically they took a pilot with one kind of distribution center and said, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. They contacted the manufacturers of these ambient room temperature items and said, is anything bad going to happen if it gets frozen or if it gets super cold? Like, basically, is anything bad going to happen? And the manufacturers were like, no, it it's fine. And so that was kind of one of the first steps they tried to just see what would happen. And turned out it was wildly successful. They cut down on trucks on the road, and they were able to move more items throughout their network efficiently.
So I think that this is super awesome because it goes with this idea of reducing your empty miles, right? Which is one of those things that you hear a lot of times when it comes to those very easily accessible sustainability initiatives from the carrier side is, hey, if you can get more things in your trucks and be running full more often, then you really hit that ESG goal. Is this now an effort that you could see a really good tandem relationship working between your shippers and your carriers with the idea of, okay, you know, we make these pooled shipments and you're getting more full miles, you're running more, you're making more money, but we're also now saving more ESG?
Oh, 100%. It's going to be, I think, kind of as more people realize this, and obviously it's not going to work for every type of industry. So, you know, you're not going to be able to put, you know, jeans with fruit. But for those industries that you can do that, it's going to be a game changer because you're going to have full trucks. You're going to be able to control what goes on that truck because, you know, whether you're a shipper or you're a broker or a 3PL or any sort of intermediary, sometimes your carriers, if it's not a completely full load, they will try to find their own load to put on that truck. So that way, you know, they're still making money and that truck is full. Well, now you kind of have control over that. No matter how many times you might tell a carrier, no, you can't get anything else, you can't put another shipment on this load. Sometimes, unfortunately, they still do it. And it's always a nightmare. But now if you say, okay, don't worry, we have filled up the rest of the truck with products that we approved to be on the same truck as this one, you're good. You don't need to go try and find it. And even if it's like, you know, two picks, two drops, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be fine. That truck is going to get there and it's going to reduce the other stuff. And either that's if, you know, that warehouse doesn't necessarily need another order of blankets, but we can toss two pallets on to, you know, maybe skip them next week and catch them like every other week, something like that could help a lot across the board with warehouse inventory levels, making sure that they don't have unnecessary product or taking up extra space. And ultimately, you know, it's a nice way to, you know, easily boost and in a way that you can track the reduction of that carbon footprint.
So the last thing that we need to talk about when it comes to sustainability goals is the advent of different technologies when it comes into this space. And not just talking about temperature tracking or specific temperature control mechanisms, but talking about those things that are the little creations, little nuances that end up making a very small difference alone, but when combined, make a very, very big difference. The cold chain industry and the health industry in particular is really ripe for that ability to reduce a little bit more waste. Is there anything from a product or technology-wise coming out soon that you think could be a big-time game changer in the cold chain space?
I think a lot of it is going to come down to, and it's something that we've already started to see. So a lot of people are transitioning away from, you know, dry ice and those gel packs that maybe are single use or they can't necessarily be used in shipment again. Cardinal actually came up with a really great solution for that, but I'm going to make you watch the episode to get that one. But moving on in the industry, a lot of people are swapping out of that dry ice and gel packs into these kind of phase change materials, which are kind of like an ice pack, but it's like super sturdy. It can go to like 60 degrees below Celsius and it's reusable. So pretty much once it's done and it's melted, you just put it back in the freezer and you can continue using it for years. The same can't be said for, you know, the gel packs that you might get in your HelloFresh meal kits or other stuff like that. So something like that. And then also we've seen a huge, huge rise in these reusable totes. And that's something that I love because if it's so easy on a closed network, if you have a carrier going back and forth, you can just pick it up and take it back to its receiver or its origin point. And it's so easy to keep these totes in there because that's cutting down on dry ice. It's cutting out on packaging materials. It's just a tote that you set it to a temperature and it'll keep it there. And I think that that is going to especially take off in the pharma world because there's so many, you know, new gene therapies, new drugs, different vaccines that are coming out that do have to be kept at these ultra low temperatures. But obviously, it's not going to be enough to fill up a full truck. So I think that the more creative we can get with those solutions, it's going to be better. I mean, shoot, there are even things that can keep things at negative 20 degrees Celsius for like 4 or 5 days. And there's very few places in the world you can get, you can't get within 4 to 5 days.
Well, we are super excited to catch your episode this afternoon. One more time, tell the people where it's at.
You can keep watching all things Freight Waves right here on YouTube. Or if you are on the go, you can pop it on your Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It'll be out today at 2:00 Eastern time. And then if the episode's not enough running on ice news for you, you can subscribe to the newsletter on freightwaves.com/running on ice. And the newsletter will come out today at 2 as well.
All right, Mary, thank you for that. And we will see you later this afternoon for Running on Ice.